So Learning to Fly has been talking, we've been trying to figure out something together as a church. And the reality is that we're going to be trying to figure this out forever and ever and ever and ever. Because it's hard to continue to come back to this place, but we're trying to figure out how to do impossible things. We're trying to figure out how to do the things that we actually can't do unless God steps up to do them. And so last week we sort of had this moment, in fact we had two moments within the service, of asking God, what are the impossible things that you want to do? What are the impossible things that here in the Comox Valley you're wanting to have happen, but they're impossible if you don't do them for us? What are those things? We spent time trying to figure those out together. And then this week we're talking about, now how do we pray about those things? Because if we believe impossible things, then there's a couple steps we have to do after believing. We have to start praying as if we believe for those things. We have to start praying for those things to happen. And then the next week, we're going to talk about how to take the necessary steps to see those things carried out. If we believe something, it will change the way we pray about it. And if we pray about it, it'll change the way we act towards it, the way we behave. So this week, we're talking about prayer. Ephesians 3:20. The same verse I read last week at this time. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Measurably more than we could ask or imagine. Last week I said that one of the challenges with that is if God only did just a little bit more than we imagined, would he really be doing all that much? Do we imagine actually all that much? Do we actually have faith to see all that great of things? Or are we just sort of believing for just enough or just barely? Or are we thinking life will just kind of go by? Does God start to give us ideas and we say, yes, that could happen. And I want to see it happen. I can't wait to see it happen. It's going to be incredible. The same question I feel like today. What if I told you that the only things that you'll see in your life, the only acts of God in your life or in this church are things that you ask for? I wonder how much we'd actually see. Or how much do we just sort of say, yeah, I'll go to church, I'll do my thing and carry on, do my job, and away we go and see if God does anything great. What if the only things God was going to do in our life, I think he isn't waiting on just our prayers, but what if the only things God was ever going to do were what we asked him to do? Would we be seeing anything? Because sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we're not asking for much. Or when we're asking, we're just sort of asking for our own things. And I don't know about you, sometimes I can go through a day and all I've asked for is that my food would be blessed to my body. Zeus. My body's use. Like, God, would you just bless this food to my body's use? Amen. And then that's sort of it. If I finish a meal and I don't say, oh, thank you, Lord. I didn't die after that meal. I finish the meal and I say, good meal, clean up, that's it. Because that prayer had no real effect on what was about to happen. I pray, Lord, would you just give me a nice sleep tonight? Has anyone prayed for that? Multiplying the hours is a miracle, actually. That's a miracle. Sometimes we pray for that, Lord. We're going to bed right now, and the amount of sleep we're about to get makes us feel like we could cry. But would you multiply the hours? Sometimes that's a miracle worth asking for. But sometimes we just get into bed. Would you just give us a nice sleep, God? And would you help us to keep safe? Amen. We wake up in the morning like, wow, had a nice sleep. Well, you also have a nice cozy pillow, a nice blanket, a nice bed maybe. And also you're safe because probably you live in Canada, you know? And we say, God, would you just do what's already going to happen anyways? Amen. We never look around after that and say, God, I can't believe I had a good sleep. That's so incredible. I can't believe nothing bad happened, you know. Maybe a few leaks with this crazy weather around here, but nothing, you know, we don't actually always ask for all that much. We just sort of ask that the normal would happen. And Lord, would you just keep the normal and don't let anything disturb the normal. And once normal happens, then that would be just incredible. But then a sermon like last week comes out and we say, we believe for impossible, but we come back and start praying for normal, it doesn't work. We got to pray for the impossible. We need to start asking God for the impossible things. Yesterday, my boy, Hardy, he's sitting beside his mom. He's sitting beside Kendall, and Kendall's sort of moving around. She's getting pretty pregnant, and she's moving, and she goes, oh, just makes one of those noises, and Hardy says, okay, mama. And she says, yeah, my rib's just a little bit sore. He says, Hardy, pray. We're like, You bet you do, boy. Yes. It's exciting times. And I'm like, first call and altar call. I'm ready to go. Like, I want. But anyways, I say, yeah, you're going to pray. This is going to be awesome. Are you okay? Go for it. And he says, Jesus. That's how he says Jesus. And we can't tell if it's Jesus or Jesus, or, but it's not Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus. So Jesus, mama's ribs, make feel better, mama's ribs. Amen. You know, he looks around like this. He goes, can I get a cookie, Dad? You know, I just prayed. You heard me. I just prayed. You heard me. But he prayed boldly, like the specific prayer. Like, what happens? You know, I'm not going up to him and say, wait a sec, Hardy. Are you sure you want to pray that prayer? Because what happens if God doesn't answer that? You know, what happens if it doesn't work out? What happens if it, no. Oh, Hardy, slow down. No, I'm saying to him, hey, have faith like you, a child. Believe it. Just trust it. He doesn't even think about it. Oh, mommy's ribs sore. We better ask the one who fixes it. He doesn't even know about a doctor. He's not even thinking about a doctor. He just goes, well, we'll just get it fixed. So I said to Kendall, does it feel better? She goes, yeah. Yeah, it does. Isn't it amazing that God can work through the little kids? He can work through little kid faith. And little kids have way more imagination than us who know better. And they pray with much more faith than us who have learned better than that. You know, we've learned over time. You don't want to pray with too much faith. You don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes it can be disappointing. I believe God wants us to pray boldly for the things that God wants to boldly put into our hearts. And bold prayers honor God. And I believe God will honor our bold prayers because our bold prayers will honor God. When people look at us and see how we pray, they should be seeing a very large God. A very big God, something that could do something incredible, a person who could make a difference, a person who could do impossible things. If they looked in at our prayer life, we'd want them to see a God who's elevated beyond what we could imagine. That we ask him to do things that we could never do, knowing that if he doesn't do them, they won't happen. We need to be praying that way. And I believe there's three things that our bold prayers will be. I'm going to share with you what those are. There it is. Number one, bold prayers are specific. Bold prayers are specific. We can't know the way God will answer all things, but we can know that 100% of the prayers we don't pray don't get answered. When we come to God, we can't say everything's going to be answered the way that we want it to be answered and it's all going to happen. But if we don't pray, we can know that God's not all of a sudden going to be moved into action. And we're not going to see God after that. It's not like when we don't pray and something happens, we say, wow, God did something. We didn't ask him to do it. If you get a gift and you don't know, you didn't ask for it, it doesn't come, you don't know where it came from, you can't identify the giver. But if we would pray specific prayers, then we're ready to see specific answers. We get primed to see specific things happen in our life. We start to look around. When we pray specific prayers, especially with other people, we start to say, okay, this is what I'm going to pray for. And we sort of let loose and let other people hear what we're praying for. Then they might ask us about it, right? So our eyes are open to see what might God do in this time. Where could things actually go in this time? I had a friend. He was he speaks all over the country, really, but he was up in northern BC. He's actually a friend who spoke here, actually, one time. His name is Clark. And Clark goes a lot of places, and a lot of times where he goes to those places, he sees some incredible healings happen. So he went to this one place one time, northern BC, and he talks about healing. He talks about, you know, where things could go and believing for it and trusting that it's Jesus and not a person. And so he does all of that stuff, and then he says, so if anyone wants to get healed, let's believe for it together and let's pray for it. And so this kid comes up to him after the service and says, yeah, I want to get healed. He goes, okay, good. What is it? He goes, I'm colorblind. It's like, oh, boy, that's a big one, you know. All of a sudden, it's like, well, if you told me that you just had a sore finger, I could have tricked you into believing that it got better. But colorblindness, I can't manipulate anything. I've got to pray, and God's got to answer. All of a sudden, we're in the realm of impossibility again. So the guy says, I've gotten colorblind. Can you do anything for me? You know, he says, yeah, Jesus can. So let's pray. So he prays for his eyes. Says, you know, because Jesus, you love him. because you can and will heal him. We just ask because of your great power and your great love that his eyes would see full color. He opens his eyes, he goes, I can see. I can see full color. Like he's all of a sudden like, whoa, I actually can. It works. Oh, thank you, sir. And he walks off. That's kind of it. And my friend came to me and said, like, I'm almost nervous telling that story because, you know, it happens. But then you think, well, did it, like, how locked in is it? And will he question it after? And will it actually have happened? And I don't know. It's a hard thing. So I had a friend later on go up to the same place, speak at another retreat. And at that retreat, people came up and said, yeah, there's all these miracles that are happening here. I said, oh, incredible. And they said it all started when this kid came up and he got his eyes healed of color blindness. And all of a sudden, all of these miracles started happening all around. All of these things started happening in the area because when we pray specific prayers, God will give us terrific faith when he answers them. We'll have more faith. When God answers a small thing, we have prayer, a faith to look to the next thing. And when he answers that one, we have faith to look to the next and the bigger and the bigger and the bigger. When we pray specifically, we get to see the hand of God at work. And then we have faith to believe for it to happen again. This all started because this kid decided he was going to pray for his colorblindness. Specifically, he was specifically healed. He started having faith, and so did everyone around him. They started seeing healing happening in the area. It's incredible. Bold prayers are specific. Second thing, bold prayers are desperate. Bold prayers are desperate. I once saw desperate prayers happen in my youth group when I was in youth. When I was in youth, there was a season when there were 8 girls and 1 boy. Me. 1 boy. I liked the odds. I didn't really need the youth group to change. I was like, this is okay. I mean, this is fine. There's 8 girls and 1 guy, and apparently they were a little bit not. They didn't like it as much as me. So there's this one time where we're all worshiping. We worshipped to a ghetto blaster, and we always played 1 CD and it always skipped, but we still worshipped anyways. And these girls all of a sudden gather together, and all these girls are gathering, and I'm standing here like, what do I do, you know? And they start crying out, like desperately crying out to Jesus. They're yelling, and I'm thinking, what are they praying about? So I go and listen, and Lord, we want more men of God. We want more young guys to be part of this. So I'm thinking, whoa, 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 hey, let's slow down here. No, but they're praying for guys to show up. We just need to see guys. And I'm thinking, I've asked all my friends. I know, like they're not coming. So don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. This is just where it's going to be. And so they're praying and praying. This is a Wednesday night. We had a Bible study. Friday night, we had activities. That Wednesday, they prayed. That Friday, 14 guys show up. The odds changed, you know. And I'm like, what? I don't even know. Most of these guys, I don't even know. I'm like, what school do you go to? Like, your school. What? It was crazy. God did, I think he poofed people out of nowhere. Like, all of a sudden, like, here's some new guys for Williams Lake. Boom. And it just happened. They desperately prayed for it, and God answered their prayers. I wonder how desperate you've been for a prayer. How much you've agonized over something in the last while. When was the last time you laid on the ground? When was the last time you kneeled? When was the last time you wouldn't eat so that you could pray? When was the last time you fought so hard you yelled to God? When was the last time you wept because of something? Like what? When was the last time that happened for you? We need to get desperate for God. We need to believe that God's going to do some great things. And we don't work God into something. But it's good for us to say, I'm in this too, God. I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to push for it. In the Bible, we see it all over the place. In 1 Kings 18, 41 to 46, this guy named Elijah. And Elijah's just been part of something pretty crazy where he and a whole bunch of prophets of another god are up on this mountain. And Elijah actually calls down fire from God. God, bring fire. It was this incredible moment. All of a sudden, 450 prophets end up getting killed. It was just this wild time. And Elijah goes down and says to the king who hated him, he says, hey, you better go home quick because the drought that we've had for 3 years on this land, we're about to get rained out, just so you know. So you better go home. So Ahab's like, okay. So he heads out. Elijah goes up back onto Mount Carmel. Not Caramel, Carmel. Goes back up onto the mountain, and he starts praying. Let's catch up. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. Isn't that funny? I think I hear it, Ahab. Rain's coming, you know. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Can you imagine that prayer stance? Like, I don't know if I could. And he just bends down. He's on this dusty mountain, face between his knees. I don't know if his knees are on rocks. I don't know if you ever prayed or knelt on something for a long time, and you're just like, I don't like this anymore. But he says, I'm getting in this position. I'm going to come on top of this mountain. And just so you know, when he called down fire, he said, God, bring fire. But now here he goes, and he goes, this one requires some desperation. I need to call on this. I need to show God I'm serious. I need to stand here until this happens. I'm going to kneel. I'm going to put my head in between my legs, and I'm going to call on God to do something incredible. He said, go and look toward the sea, he told his servant, and his servant went and looked. There is nothing, he said. He's supposed to look for clouds, right? There is nothing. I don't see anything. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, I like this part, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Ahab on a horse-drawn chariot, Elijah on foot. Elijah runs ahead of Ahab. Isn't that a cool finish to that story? He's praying desperately for rain. This tiny little cloud comes up. And by the way, if he had stopped at the sixth time, what do you think would have happened? You know, we just talked about that last week. Seven dips in the Jordan River. Now seven times, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to fight for this. Every prayer would have been a little more desperate than the last, a little more urgent than the last is. Go check now. Is the sky showing any signs of rain yet? Is there anything? I need something. Finally, on the seventh time, this little fist, this little hand, he says, that's it. Tucks in his cloak and runs faster than horses. What a cool story. The Bible is wild. Bold prayers are specific. Bold prayers are desperate. Third is bold prayers are persistent. There was a study done on violinists a while back, and they sort of case studied a bunch of talented, genetically gifted musicians, and at 8 years old, all of them were about the same. All of them were very good violinists, and they could go very far in this particular activity, and so they watched and to see what would happen after that. They checked them again at age 20, and they had watched how many hours of practice they put in all the way along, and the average players, the ones who were good, but, you know, just more like average by the end, had practiced 6,000 hours. The ones who would be called good players, the ones who were very good players, had practiced 8,000, and the best, the ones that were exceptional, the ones that they would call professionals, had practiced 10,000 hours. Every time. It had to do with who decided in that moment when they were tired, when they were sick of it, when they didn't seem to be getting past that point, who was it that decided, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep learning. I'm going to keep growing. I believe prayer is going to be similar for all of us. Or are we someone who says, I'll pray. Thank you, Lord, for this good day. He's not talking to me. Okay, carry on. Lord, I want this to happen. It didn't happen, and we carry on. Are you someone who pushes a little bit beyond that? Are you someone who pushes a little bit beyond that? Are you someone who says, I'm going to pray for this thing until I see the hand of God move and do something incredible? What would you rate yourself at? No one discovers their potential without persistence. And I think a similar reality is true, that no one discovers the potential of God without persistence in prayer. What could God do? What could God do if we would just persist and say, I'm not going to move from this spot until I know what God's doing, until I see what happens? Sometimes how we handle the time in between what we ask God to do and Him answering determines how persistent we are in our prayers. We ask God for something, and if it doesn't happen right away, we can quickly say, I give up. I want to call you, church, to a place where you ask God and then you stand in that spot and say, I'm not giving up until this is done. I'm not giving up until we're through. I'm not giving up until this thing happens, until God makes so clear his will to me. I'm not giving up on this. I have one thing that I've prayed for since I was a little kid. I pray every single night for it. And there was a time in my life where I stopped praying for it. I prayed every day. Nothing's changed. Nothing's happening. And I had someone come up to me and say, hey, you used to pray for this thing, and you told me you don't pray for that. What's going on there? I said, well, I don't know. God's heard my prayer. I've prayed enough, and I've prayed a bunch of times. I haven't seen it happen. So I'll just see what happens now. He knows my heart, and that's that. And he said, no, you got to keep going. You got to keep going. And so I've committed now to God. God, I'm going to pray until I die or until it happens. This one thing, there's one thing in my heart. Last week, God put a dream in your heart. He gave you something. He placed it. You know it. You asked him for it. Will you continue to pray for that thing until you know that it happens, or you know otherwise that it can't? Martha came up to Jesus one time when her brother Lazarus had just died. 4 days ago, actually. Jesus walks up to the place, and Martha runs out to Jesus, and what she says is incredible. She says, Jesus, Lazarus is dead. If you would have been here 4 days ago, it wouldn't have happened. And she had faith to believe that. That's incredible faith to say, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. But then her next words are so incredible. She says, even still, you could do it. How many of us need an even still in our life? How many of us have prayed for something, it didn't happen, and we need to be able to say, even still, you could, God. Even still, it could happen. I know I didn't get that house right now, but even still, it could happen. I know it didn't work out this time with where my marriage is at, but even still, you could heal it. I know right now I stumbled again in addiction, but even still, you could move in me and you could break through. I know that I've stumbled along and it hasn't worked out so far. I didn't get that raise yet, but even still, I believe it. Even still, you could do something. Even when the door shuts and we say, even still, I'll call on the name of God. He puts something in our hearts. Bold prayers hold on to those promises. Worship team, you can join me. In Luke 18, Jesus talks about this one particular parable. It says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. They should always pray and they should never give up. Jesus starts speaking to them about that. He tells a story about this particular widow. And there's a judge in town, and the widow keeps going up to the judge and saying, hey, you need to make things right. She's talking to him about this particular injustice. And Jesus, he states that this particular judge couldn't care less about God and doesn't care about people. That's a tough judge to work with. The widow might as well have just said, ah, forget it. He's going to do what he's going to do. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about God. Why would I ever go to him anyways? But says day after day, hey, judge, I need some justice here. Here's how it needs to happen. Hey, judge, come on, I need this to work out. Judge, I'm looking for you to do this. Judge, justice needs to be served. And day after day, kept saying no. That's why she kept going back. It says, for some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, sounds like a nice guy, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. The funny thing is, Jesus is comparing that to God. And God's a whole lot more caring than this judge sounds like he is. But he says, if a judge would do that, what about God? If a judge who couldn't care less about God and couldn't care less about humans will say, I'm sick and tired, just stop bothering me. Whatever you want, you obviously want it a lot, and you're obviously not letting go of this, so you can just have it. You're wearing me out. I can't do my job. I can't do anything else. I just need to give it to you because you seem so crazy. If I could just give this to you, you'll leave me alone for a while. That's what the judge is saying. And Jesus talks about this story as if it's what we should do. He talks about this as the thing that we should do. He says, if this is the persistence of a widow to a judge, how persistent should we be with our loving Father? How persistent should we be about the things that we want? Oh, maybe he doesn't want to give it to me. He hasn't yet. No, keep asking. Maybe it's not going to happen because I don't know. And sometimes we think faith is us not asking God because God will do it. If he's going to do it, I trust God that much. But God is saying to you, are you serious about it? Jesus says, are you serious about it? Ask for it. Ask for it, believe 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 for it. Keep going back over and over and over and over and over again so that you know when it happens, God has opened up the door. You'll see him. There are certain things that we just can't stop praying for in our lives. I know you have some of them in your heart. I know I have some of them in my heart. This is how Jesus finishes off that parable. He says, will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. This is God. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's his question now. Jesus asked the disciples, if he came now, would he see faith like that? Talks about the story of persistence. Persistently seek God. Persistently ask for things that he's put on your heart. Consistently, persistently continue to do that. But Jesus says, when I come back, will I see anyone doing that? Will I see people doing that? Will I show up into Northgate's doors and watch a whole bunch of people that are calling on my name for great things to happen, that are asking for the impossible, that are believing for the things that I placed on their heart and then asking me to do them? And when they haven't got an answer, will they keep asking? And when it feels discouraging, will they keep asking? When it feels like their faith is dry and they're not hearing my voice, will they keep asking? Will they keep persisting? Will they keep coming to me? Otherwise, are we assuming that God is less than a judge who couldn't care less about God or less about people? We believe in a God that is greater than all things, that loves us more than we could ever love him, that loves us more than we could ever love each other or our kids or anyone. I'll tell you something. My kids don't come to me and say, Dad, can I have some chocolate? I say, no. Okay, cool. And they go sit down. They say, can I have some chocolate? No. Chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. Dad, 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 dad. All of a sudden, I'm getting punched and slapped and hit and everything and whatever. Yeah, dad, chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. And I'm like, if I give in right now, then it's going to set a bad precedent. No, I can't give you chocolate. Chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. Here's a chocolate. Take the whole bag. No. Heat yourself into a food coma and go to sleep for a while. I need some break, you know. And I'm not a perfect father by any means. But the perfect father has put some things on your heart. He's given you some dreams for this Comox Valley and for this church. And I want to encourage you to pray as if he wants to accomplish those in your life. Pray with the kind of faith that would get those things moving. If God showed up and he was sitting here, I wouldn't be up here preaching. We'd all be asking him for stuff. Hey, you're here. Hey, why don't you look at all this stuff that we want to do in the Comox Valley? Why don't you go do it? Can you go take care of all the divorced people and help them? All the people that are sick, can you go clear out the hospital? Could you just go do that for us? Hey, could you go and buy us a new building? Or no, just poof one out of thin air. Can you just go and do all of these great things? God, could you help all of our hearts give more readily? Like, we'd just love to do that. Hey, could you just help us to do all these things? God, we really want you to do these things, and that would be awesome. Since you're here anyways, why don't you just do them? We pray like that or not? Because I believe God's calling us to that kind of prayer. That's asking him and keeps on asking him until we see it happen. Even when we get discouraged. Even when we get discouraged. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you give us this picture and we're supposed to keep bugging you. I pray we wouldn't give up on dreams that you place on our hearts. We wouldn't so easily say, I guess I wasn't supposed to do that because it wasn't easy. But Lord, we would pray persistently. We would pray with faith, Lord. We would pray boldly. We would pray specifically. We would pray desperately to you, God. I pray that our lives would become desperate for you, Lord. That the things that we want to see happen, that we believe you've given us to see happen, Lord, that we'd expect them and we pray hard for those things, Jesus. We know that you're the only one who can do it, but Lord, as much as the work depends on us, help us to do it. Teach us how to do that, Lord. Teach us how to do that, Lord. And God, today I just pray that you'd meet people who've never prayed to you before. Who've walked away from you or have gotten less interested. I pray that today might be one of those days. Would be the day. When they come to you and say, I need that Father in my life who loves me that much. I need to know what he has for me. I need to know the life he gives to me. I need to know the life he's promised to me. And that their prayer today will be, Jesus, I turn to you. I turn from the life I've lived. I want to know your ways. I want to know the dreams you have. I want to know how to pray to you. I want to follow the life you have for me. Jesus, today I pray that someone would make that prayer in their heart. Yeah, if that's you today, if today you say, that's me, I want that. I want that good Father that I can call on. I want the one that I can ask. I want to stop pursuing my own gains. I want to find the gains that God has. I want to know the things that he has for me, and I'm willing to pray about it, and I'm willing to seek him for that. If today you say that's you, and you haven't done that before, and you haven't found Jesus as your Lord and Savior before, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you specifically? I'd love to be able to pray for you. Yes, I'll pray for you for sure. Is there anyone else who'd like to make that prayer today? It says, I need to know that Jesus. I need to know the one that loves me and cares for me. Yeah, I'll pray for you for sure at the back. Bless you. Lord God, meet these people who are saying, I've come to church, I've been around, I've seen this stuff, but I want to connect myself to that one who loves me. I want to connect myself to that one who loves me. I want to receive his love. I'll throw away all the other types of loves that I've pursued so I can know that love fully in my life. In your name I pray. Amen.